Good morning. I want to move down here a little closer today. Amen. Isn't it just amazing what the Lord is doing at Return? Amen. It's hard to explain. You know, you just can't always explain God. But I've come to understand, as Pastor Bill said, when we humble ourselves and put God first, God has nothing else to do but to show up and to bless his people. And so I am just excited to get to be a part of what God is doing at Return. Wow, what a powerful worship service this morning. Amen. That was God orchestrating through his people. When we are in obedience and come humbly before God into his presence. And what a powerful move. I just still feel the presence of God in this place. It's hard to know where to go when God's moving. Amen. Let's just praise him for just a minute. Dear Lord, we love you. We just thank you and we honor you, God. For God, today this is nothing of us. It's all of you. It's nothing of what we are able to do, but it's what you are able to do through us. And God, we just lift up your name in this house this morning. God, you're the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. God, you know everything from beginning to end. And God, I know that there are people here today that have already been set free. But God, there are others that need to be set free. And God, in the name of Jesus, I just proclaim right now in Jesus' name that every yoke that has been brought into this building, every spirit of darkness, every spirit of confusion, every spirit of bitterness, every spirit of anger, every spirit that is coming against your people, God, right now in the name of Jesus, we break the darkness, we break the yokes, and we break the enemy in the name of Jesus right now, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Whew. I feel the presence of God. He's here to break somebody's yoke today out of your life. You've been bound long enough, and the Spirit wants to release you. He wants to set you free. Kind of like a prisoner in a jail cell, when they're set free, they're able to walk freely. But I'm going to tell you, there's a worse jail cell this morning to be in, and that is spiritual bondage. And that's a spiritual jail cell. And when the Lord sets you free, you are free indeed. We're going to go this morning to the book of Ephesians. I shared a message a few Wednesday nights ago, and I had several people saying you need to share this on a Sunday morning. So for those of you that were here on that Wednesday evening, you'll get to hear it a second time. But those that weren't, you'll get to hear it for the first time. And so I want to talk to you this morning on prayer. In Ephesians chapter number 6, and in verse 18 and 19, in the New King James, it says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. And then in the New Living Translation, it says, pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert, be persistent in your prayers
for all believers everywhere. And pray for me too, and ask God to give me the right words so that I can boldly explain God's mysterious plan that the good news is for the Jews and the Gentiles alike. Aren't you thankful for God's mysterious plan? You know, God just kind of comes in and oftentimes just changes our strategies. But there's no other way like it when we can feel the presence of God and know that He is in operation. I want to begin this morning by saying that prayer has no substitutes. Prayer has no substitutes. There is no replacement for prayer. Church attendance is great. Praise is great. Singing that like we have done this morning is wonderful. Working in the church, giving is something that we should do. But all of these things cannot replace the power of prayer. Jesus said, "My house shall be called a house of prayer." Yes, we need singing and we need worship and we need all of the things that we do in the church, and those things are all wonderful, but more than any other thing, we need prayer. And I am thankful today to be a part of a church that not only believes in prayer, but that operates in prayer. And I believe that's why we are seeing tremendous things happening at Return. I don't know if you sense it or feel it or not, but in my spirit, I sense that God is doing some tremendous things and that we're getting ready to see some tremendous breakthroughs. We're already seeing a revival. Return is on the move for God. Amen. Give Him praise this morning. You see, prayer is the key to heaven, and faith can unlock that door. Prayer is important in our church. Something happens when we give ourselves to praying for the lost, for praying for revival, for praying for ourselves. If you look into Pentecostal history, you will find that the key to every great revival and every great awakening that ever happened was unity and prayer. Unity and prayer. In Acts chapter 1, just before the church was birthed, the Bible said that they were there waiting for the Spirit, and it said that they continued in one accord and in supplication. So they were there gathered and they were there in one accord, which means they were there in one mind. They were there in unity. And then because of the prayer and the prayers of those great people in that room, the Spirit of God was birthed into the church. In Pentecostal history, their churches were strong in prayer. Their homes were baptized in prayer. Their preaching was preceded by prayer. Their altar services were blanketed in prayer. Their witnessing was prepared by prayer. Everything that they did was marked by prayer. You see, we have to be careful that as people of God, that we do not buy into lesser substitutes for prayer. Prayer is a place of surrender, and there are a lot of problems and a lot of difficulties in our lives that would be resolved if we would drop down on our knees and begin to cry out and begin to give God the glory for already bringing us through the situation. You see, when you're going through a situation, you cannot give the situation too much credit. You've got to give your God the credit that is going to deliver you beyond the situation. And God can do so much when we give ourselves to praying for things that really matter in life. You go back and look at the story of Hezekiah, and Hezekiah was told that he was going to die, and the Bible said that he turned his face to the wall and began to pray. And you know something? God answered that prayer and provided 15 more years to Hezekiah's life because he prayed and he began to well out before God. The Bible is filled with examples that were answered when people were in dire circumstances. Prayer for direction. You need direction in your life this morning? Begin to pray to God. You have a sick children? Pray for prayer. Pray that God will heal them. Pray for deaf ears. Prayer for victory over defiant enemies. Prayer for cleansing in my life. Prayer for renewal. Prayer for revival. Prayer for a host of many things that we need from God. You see, a Christian, a preacher, and returned church cannot survive and cannot continue without the power of prayer. The great tragedy of our generation is that we want people to pray for us, but we don't want to pray for ourselves. We believe that prayer is an instant cure for everything that is going on in our lives. However, prayer is more than just being a consolation to you when you are in a trial or you're in a difficult pressure in your life. It's kind of like faith. You see, faith, we don't need faith if we don't have any problems, if we never have any issues. We don't really need it, and faith is like a muscle. You take a person that is a weightlifter, and they will grow in their physical body by lifting weights, and they'll become strong. But let them quit lifting and quit exercising for about a year, and those muscles will turn into flab. The same thing is true in our Christian walk with God. As we develop our faith, it becomes stronger. As we're walking through the situation, as we're going through the valley of the shadow of death, our faith will become strengthened because of the prayer life and because of our obedience to our Lord. You see, prayer is not like a drive-through. It's not something that you just zip through and sing out a few requests and then just expect that God is going to drop your prayer answered like you order a hamburger with no onions and extra cheese and no lettuce. God wants us to bring more than just our problems. He wants to intercede and He wants to communicate with us. I want to share with you this morning five things that prayer does. Number one, prayer empties the heart of its cares. Prayer empties the heart of its cares. You see, without prayer, you will collect all kinds of baggage, all kinds of stress, all kinds of pressure, all kinds of mental calamities, and a host of other things that will drag you down. But the remedy for everything is prayer. In 1 Peter 5, in verses 6 and 7, it says, "Humble yourselves," as we've already talked about here this morning, "humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares upon Him, because He careth for you." You know something? If you want to be exalted, you don't run around trying to be exalted. You humble yourself. And when you have a humble spirit, then God can use you. But if your spirit is not humble, God cannot use you. You have to come to a place of humility. You see, there are times that we seek out human answers to try to fix difficult matters of life. Put the cares of life in the hands of the Lord. I like to use this often, like the old song we used to sing, "Take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there." So oftentimes we take our burdens to the Lord and we walk straight back out with the same burdens that we brought to Him. And we don't leave them there. We don't leave them at the foot of the cross. We don't leave them at the blood of Jesus. Blessed are the pure in heart, the Bible said, for they shall see God. Look at the story of Hannah. Hannah was a woman who had a sorrowful spirit because she was barren. Her barrenness sent her to a place of prayer where she began to well out before the Lord. And apparently her prayer was such that it caught the critical eyes of Eli, who began to chastise her and thought that she was drunk. You know something? There's a place that you can come to in God where you can become drunk in the Spirit. And God just kind of takes over. And He just kind of shows up. You see, there will be times when you empty your heart before God that others around you may think that you are drunk and that you're about half crazy, but it is in these kind of prayer meetings that God will birth a prophet. It's in these kind of prayer meetings that God will raise up a pastor or a preacher, and God will change the religious landscape, and He will change nations when we begin to travail before Him in prayer. You see, emptying the heart is going to take a holy desire, and you will have to forget what others think about you and think about what God thinks about you. Who cares what anybody else thinks? When you're pleasing unto God, that's all that matters. And Hannah literally unloaded her heart before God. How can we ever hear God with a heart that is overloaded with the cares of life? Hannah could have remained sorrowful in her spirit. She could have blamed God and questioned God and the rest of her life. She could have not lived for God, but a prayer meeting changed all that. She got desperate in the house of the Lord. I believe somebody this morning needs to get desperate in the house of the Lord. You say, I need a job. I need money for the rent. I need you to do something about the things in my life. We need to get desperate before God. The second thing is that prayer acknowledges that the answer is beyond your human ability. Prayer acknowledges that the answer is beyond your human ability. Prayer will help you understand that you cannot fix everything and that you are not the sum total of everything that takes place in the world. We don't have the ability to fix all of our problems. We don't have the ability to fix every issue of our life, but I know a God that does have the ability. You see, prayer helps you see the big picture by showing you how small you really are in God's plan and purpose for your life. The moment you bow your knee and your head is an acknowledgement that you need God. Jesus Christ is the author and the finisher of our faith. Therefore, I don't have to know all the answers. I just need to know the one who does know all the answers. Prayer will create humility in the heart. I shared this little story on the Wednesday night about Muhammad Ali. Muhammad Ali got on a plane one time and he settled in very carefully to a seat. And on this particular day, he decided that he wasn't going to wear a seatbelt. A little while later, a stewardess came down the aisle, not knowing who this great boxer was, and she told him, "Sir, you need to put on your seatbelt." And as quick as lightning, Ali replied back to her and said, "Superman don't need no seatbelt." And she was quick right back to him to say, "Superman don't need no plane either. Put on your seatbelt." You You see, it does not matter how great you are and how great you think you are, how much money you have, how much education you have, how many degrees you have hanging on the wall, how much your position and clout is in life. You are in no big position that you still need to pray before God. Amen. You see, prayer anchors itself in God. Our hope is in God, not in all the answers that the world would attempt to offer me. Because this world is not, there's not a lot of hope in this world. Paul said, if I put my faith, my hope in this world, I am of all men most miserable. There's not much hope in this world. Our hope comes from God. I'm reminded of a song that we used to sing back when I was a kid. I even remember singing it at youth camp. And some of these songs we used to sing, there's just a lot of great messages in them. And this song said, where do I go when there's nobody else to turn to? Who do I talk to when no one wants to listen? Who do I lean on when there's no foundation stable? I go to the rock. I know he's able. I go to the rock. I go to the rock of my salvation. I go to the stone that the builders rejected. I run to the mountain, and the mountain stands by me. When earth all around is sinking sand, on Christ the solid rock I stand. When I need a shelter, when I need a friend, I go to the rock. And then the next verse said, where do I hide when the storms of life are threatening? Where do I run to when the winds of sorrow blow? Is there a refuge in the time of tribulation? I go to the rock. I know he's able. I go to the rock. And somebody in this building this morning, you've brought issues and you've brought things and you've brought past and you've brought bitterness and you've brought anger and you've brought resentment that you have lived with for many years in your life, and you feel like that nobody is there for you, and you just feel like giving up and throwing up your hands and quitting. Can I say to you today and submit to you this morning that there is a God that is here for you today, and he is able to deliver you and he is able to set you free. Can you give him a hand clap of praise this morning? The third thing is that prayer is the way to divine direction. Prayer is the way to divine direction. You know, we've messed it up long enough. We all know the definition of insanity, right? Doing the same things over and over and expecting a different result. Those of you that are involved in AA and NA, you know that one very well, because we sometimes just keep going back to the same way of doing things, and we expect that something different is going to happen, and we become full of insanity in our lives. I want you to refresh your memory for just a moment of a preacher named Jonah. Jonah was a man who was basically a half backslid preacher. And he was determined that he was going to do what he wanted to do. But how many of you know there's a problem with that? When we do what we want to do, we get ourselves into trouble many times. What he wanted to do was in direct conflict with what God had asked him to do. And that's called disobedience. One of the greatest lessons that we learn from the story of Jonah is that decisions made without prayer can lead to storms and destruction in your life. You see, the whole reason that Jonah ended up in the storm and in the belly of a well and was nearly dead was because he made a decision that he did not pray about. How often do we make decisions and we never give God a chance? We never even talk to him about it. Woe is unto us if we make decisions that are not based on the earnest prayer of inquiry inquiry with God. Woe is unto us if we go to unspiritual people who are just as confused as we are and seek out direction for our lives. If you need direction in your life, you surround yourself with somebody that is on a good path. Surround yourself with somebody that knows how to pray. Surround yourself with somebody who's walking a good spiritual life. Maybe don't have it all together. None of us have it all together. None of us just arrive at a place where we're just already in perfection. We have to always be striving and always be reaching and always being challenged of God. You see, you cannot trust your decision to do the right thing when you cannot see around the corner. Go to God who can see around the corner and can help in every aspect of your life. Prayer brings direction from what Isaiah called the wonderful counselor. If you have a wonderful counselor, you need nothing else. But to get that wonderful counselor involved, you have to seek after his will. Before you do anything, seek God. Before you take a new job, seek God. And as I said before, just because it's more money does not always mean it's of God. Now, sometimes God can bless you and give you more money, and that is the blessings of God. But sometimes that is not the call of God just because it's for the money. Before you make a financial decision, seek God. Before you get married, seek God. Before you decide to walk away from the church and go to another church, seek God. In Proverbs 3 and verse 6, it says, "In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths." In all my ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct my path. You see, when you begin to acknowledge God, he will help you. You have to include God in every single aspect of your life. I'm going to move on for the sake of time. Number four, prayer strengthens my relationship with God. Prayer strengthens my relationship with God. Far too many people have a relationship with a church or with a person or with a preacher or a movement or a group. But prayer gets way beyond that. It causes you to be able to hear the voice of God for yourself. That's why Scripture said, "Let every man work out his own salvation with fear and trembling." We have to get beyond just letting the Lord stay in the church. He has to be with us all the time. You see, this is just a building. We call it the church. It's more of a place where we just assemble as the church. We are the church. You're the church. I'm the church. Everywhere we go, we are representing God. We are the church in a lost and dying world. You see, in the old days, I remember as a child coming up, we didn't have all the things we have today, all the instruments and all the things that sometimes can hype things up. But in the old days, they didn't have all that stuff. But they would come to church and people would get saved. They would come to church and people would be filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. You would see hand clapping and foot stomping and singing to the top of their lungs. Songs like, "Would you be free from the burden of sin?" There is power in the blood. "Would you or evil a victory win?" There is wonderful, wonderful power in the blood. Does anybody know the power of the blood today? When you think about the goodness of Jesus and all that he has done for you, my soul cries out, "Hallelujah. I thank you, God, for saving me." When I look at the place where I was in, my life was in shambles. My life was in confusion. My life was all messed up. But there was power in the blood of Jesus. And I'm going to tell you today, there is power. There is wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power in the precious blood of the Lamb. And the song said, would you be free from your passion and pride? There is power in the blood. Come for a cleansing to Calvary's tide. There is wonderful power in the blood. Would you be whiter, much whiter than snow? There is power in the blood. Sin stains are lost in its life-giving flow. There is wonderful power in the blood. Would you do service for Jesus, your King? There is power in the blood. Would you live daily His praises to sing? There is wonderful power in the blood. Can you give Him a big hand clap today? You see, we don't need all the substitutes that we have today. We should be able to just shut the sound system off and still be able to have a mighty move of God. I'm convinced that I would rather have a move of God in a tent with no air conditioning and no heat than to have a dead, dry church in air condition and in a beautiful edifice of a building. I would take the power of God over the beautification of all of these things at any moment. And then the fifth thing that I want to share with you today is that prayer changes me. I think this might be the most important one, is that prayer changes me. The last reason that you cannot make it without prayer is because it changes me, it changes you. Prayer is not so that we can change God. The Bible said God does not change. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We can have different methods of attaining the same principle, but the principle cannot change. Only the methods sometimes change. Prayer is to change me. In Malachi 3, in verse 6, it says, "For I am the Lord, and I change not." I am the Lord, and I change not. And then in Psalms 90, verse 2, it says, "Before the mountains were brought forth, or even thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God." He's the same God yesterday, today, and forever. We don't pray to change God. We pray to change me. You see, if God were to change, then that would mean that He's not perfect. But since God is perfect, He will never change. So if we cannot change God, then why are we praying? We pray because it changes us. Prayer changes my attitude. Prayer changes my perspective. Prayer changes my circumstances. Prayer changes my philosophies about life. Prayer changes me into a saint of God. Prayer gives me favor with God. You see, you can go into your secret place of prayer and all sorts of things can begin to change and begin to happen in your life. This verse I want to share with you today, 2 Chronicles 7:14, we're all familiar with. "If my people, which are called by my name," this is our hope for today in America. "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land." We need a healing in America, but it's going to take a group of people that will, first of all, it says, humble yourselves. Before you do any of these other things, you've got to get the humble situation right. It's not easy to be humble sometimes. And then the second thing it said, and pray and seek my face. Notice it didn't say seek his hand, seek his miracles, seek his face. Not seek him for what he can do, but seek him for who he is. You see, as I shared and Scotty liked this statement, we don't need to have a heart attack. We need to have a prayer attack. We don't need to have a nervous breakdown. We need to have a prayer breakthrough. You need to take authority in prayer and say, Satan, your kingdom is coming down. You need to take authority in your prayer and say, Satan, you cannot have my children. You cannot have my mind. You cannot have my life. You cannot have my joy. You cannot have my peace. You cannot have my ministry. Hallelujah. Let's just stand in this building this morning. He said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, you can have healing, you can have deliverance, you can have power, you can have freedom, whatever it is that you need, God has it for you this morning. As our musicians return, there is nothing so wrong with you that God cannot take care of. Let me say that again. There is nothing so wrong with you that God cannot take care of. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Prayer will unlock doors that have been closed. Prayer will bring in the mighty rushing wind. Prayer will set you apart so that if you go into a place, people can recognize there's something different about him. There's something different about her. And they can feel it in the spirit and they can sense it. I want to conclude this morning from Saul in Acts chapter 9. In Acts chapter 9, Saul was on his way to kill the church in Damascus. And all of a sudden, a great light knocked him down to the ground. When God spoke to Ananias and told him to go and pray for Saul of Tarsus, don't you think there probably was some hesitation on his part? Is God really telling me to do that? Is God really telling me to do this? Until God told him and he began to pray. He used to be a persecutor, but he's now praying. He used to be a killer of the saints, but he's now praying. He used to be a godless man, but all of a sudden, his life has now been changed, and he's praying. I want to ask this morning, how many of us are in that stead right now? Maybe you have all kinds of problems going on in your life. Maybe you used to be in all sorts of terrible things, but now you're like Saul, and instead you've become Paul, and now you're praying. People gave up on you and said, you'll never amount to anything. You could never be used by God because you've done too many bad things. I want to tell you, God is a forgiving God. And as long as you have a breath of life in your nostrils this morning, there is hope for your life. If prayer changed you, I have a feeling that prayer can change anybody. Prayer can change anything. Prayer can change everything. Prayer is bigger than anything that you are facing this morning. You have to understand that the devil is like one of the biggest bullies that you have ever faced in your life. That's what he is. He's a bully. But you know how in school you used to say, "My daddy's stronger than your daddy. My daddy can whip your daddy. Everybody's got the biggest, baddest daddy." But I'm going to tell you, we're serving a big daddy this morning. And his name is Jesus. We're going to open these altars this morning. I know we're running a little later than usual, but it's okay. God wants to bring deliverance to somebody this morning. You have walked into this building feeling so down. You know, I'm reminded of those toys we used to have when we were kids. If you're in my age group, they were foundation. They were heavy on the bottom. And you could take your fist and hit it, and it would bounce back up. Does anybody remember those? That's how we have to be foundationed and rooted in God. And when the enemy comes and gives us a sucker punch, we can bounce right back up because we are rooted and grounded in the things of God. As our musicians begin to play and to sing this morning, there are others, I want you to please come and find a place at this altar. You need a release in your spirit today. Come and give it to God.